Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for our life that you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity to be together again today. Lord, we do come on behalf of these that we mentioned today, Sister Lee and her family. The family there, I pray, God, for them. You would give comfort, give guidance in their lives. God, we just trust you, Lord, when we are sick, when things happen to us and we can't control, we know, Lord, you're in control. I pray especially for that family today as you will bless them, Brother George and all of them. Help them, Lord, to look to you for what they need. Where's other requests that's mentioned? Lord, you know the needs, those that are sick, those that have been in accidents. Lord, it's like every time we turn around, there's an accident. God, I just pray, Lord, you would be with these dear people in a very special way. Thank you, dear God, for Sunday. Thank you for this time we have together in your house. Bless your people now as they've come here. Lord, may we get something from your word, God, to strengthen us, encourage us today and the rest of this week, Lord, that we might live for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. 2 Peter today in chapter 1. We've been talking this quarter about things in life that we have to encounter, such as injustice. We've talked for the last couple weeks about insecurity, how there's no security really much in this world in which we live. You know, no matter where you go, what you do, you have to face with things in life that you question. Last week, we talked about the characteristic of insecurity. We talked about literally overcoming it, overcoming insecurity. How do you do it? Today, we're going to review that. And then also, we're going to conclude this subject today on insecurity. And next week, we're going to start on something else, another new subject. But we will look today as we look at insecurity, the characteristics, the causes of it, the consequences of it, and finally the cure for insecurity in our life. Insecurity is caused by the fear of losing something, the fear of loss. We said that. Insecurity, that's when we place our sense of value in something we can lose. We place our sense of value in something that we can lose. This causes insecurity in our life. It could be our health. It could be a car. It could be a house. It could be anything in our life. And we could lose it. We could lose anything. Well, thank for sure, when we leave this world, we're going to leave it all behind, aren't we? Nothing are we going to take with us. We looked last week in Genesis chapter 29 at the story of Leah. Of course, Jacob. Laban, and how he deceived Jacob really in giving him Leah for his wife rather than Rebekah, him and Rebekah deceived Esau from getting the blessing there. We find this happened to him, but we find here in this relationship is the result of fear that the relationship can be lost with Leah. We find that Leah she had a lot of difficulty. Insecurity then, she had difficulty, and we find when we feel loved, if we measure up when we're insecure, that's the only way. The only way Leah could feel secure was she started having babies, having children. She had a lot of boys, and as long as she was having children, she was secure. But we find here that even in doing that, depression came. Depression always comes with insecurity. No matter how much you get, it comes from feeling that you must constantly prove yourself to someone. And that's not a good way to live, is it? When you constantly have to prove yourself to someone or something, it brings depression to you in your life. So we looked at that last week. We talked about the causes of insecurity. One cause of insecurity is rejection, parental rejection. We saw that in Leah. Her father was ready to get her out of the house. Her father was really didn't know if she would ever leave the house, but he wanted her to leave the house. And we find also, not only her father, but her husband, she felt she wasn't good enough for either one of them. She wasn't good enough for either person. And therefore, we see she felt rejected. Parental rejection causes insecurity. The pain of comparison, being compared, also causes insecurity. Being compared. We see that with Leah, you know. She became this way because she was compared with her sister, Rachel. And, you know, and she felt less love because of that, because she was being compared with Rachel, her sister. We can never do enough to gain love and acceptance that's going to last. It just won't happen. It just won't happen. It just won't happen. The possibility of always losing also is another cause of insecurity. Leah was afraid of losing Jacob. She was afraid. We see her sons were her only security of keeping him, her sons that she had. So we see the cause of insecurity, and then we see the consequences. The consequences of insecurity. One is the intensity to drive to succeed. To succeed. You know, it's good to succeed in life. It really is. But just to drive to succeed is not sufficient as far as getting doing away with insecurity. I'll give you an example. There was a man who became a multi-millionaire. He had a business that employed over 35,000 people. He had a yacht, and on that yacht he had a full-time captain. He had all the toys and all the pleasures that he could have in life. He had a lot of money, a lot of things in life. We see that his life, though, had been marked with emptiness and unhappiness in his life. He was empty and he was unhappy. No matter all he had, he was still that way. Because we'll see here why. He struggled with low esteem. He did that because his father had died. And his father, when he was a little boy, his father said to him, he said, "You will never amount to anything." That's what he told him when he was a little boy. His father told him that. So he said that everything that I do, everything that I accomplish, I do to impress my father when he was living. And now he's died. He said, I made $1 million many times over in my life, but I lost something more precious than gold. I lost the love of my youth and the love of my friends, which is more precious than all the gold that I could ever have in my life. His father never told him that he loved him or approved of him. Therefore, he had an intense desire to succeed. That was his goal, to succeed in his life. He kept thinking more. After one success, he was going to think about the next one. Always on his mind to succeed or to conquer all the time. He never got the peace that he was seeking in his life. Because he was always trying to succeed in his life. The intent to drive to succeed is a losing battle, folks. There's more to life than this success. More to life than just success. That is security we need in our life. Security we need in our life. We're going to talk about it a little on. We must understand that God has a purpose for us. He wants us to succeed. Yes, He does. But more than that, He wants us to do something else too in our life. He has a purpose for us. He's already equipped us to fulfill that purpose in our life. He wants us to be secure. He wants us to be secure in this life, in the life that we live here. And we see here, this is what sometimes doesn't happen. We also see inadequacy to relate to peers or people that we know. This is another consequence of insecurity. We find this is we are not responsible for the way others treat us. We're not responsible for that. But we are responsible for our response to the way we react to that treatment. The way we react to that treatment is very important, and we're responsible for that, the way we react. Insecure people frequently turn themselves against others. Insecure people, they do that. They turn themselves against others. Also, the inability to focus upon our blessings. This is another consequence of insecurity. You know, when we just think about how God has blessed us, what He's done for us, just saving us, giving us eternal life, all these things, you know, we'll look at it a little bit later on today. But God has been good to us, folks. Insecure people worry about many things. Insecure people worry about what they don't have. Insecure people worry about what they may lose, or they worry about how they have been mistreated in their life. Insecure people do that. Are we insecure? Insecure people, insecurity keeps us from realizing how much we have been given in our life. Insecurity. Now, what is the cure? What is the cure? Okay, I'm insecure. Now, what's the cure for my insecurity I have in my life? I think all of us would, if we be honest with ourselves, we admit that sometimes we are insecure in our lives. What is the cure for it? Well, the cure is many things. But first of all, to understand the purpose of God. Do you realize God has fashioned you the way you are for His will? You're extinct. You're the only person that looks like you. You know? Short, it's a man, his son wanted to be a ventriloquist. And so the father says, okay, I'll call the people that make them and see if I can have you one made. So he called the people that made the dolls, so to speak, and he said, I want you to make my son one. He said, well, you got to give me some facts. He said, don't just make them. They had to be specific. What size, what color the hair, everything has to be specific about them before we can make them. You know, that's the way God's designed you. He's designed you specifically. Psalmist tells us in Psalm 139 that, you know, in even our mother's womb, how God miraculously made us different, every one of us. It's an amazing thing to me how so many people in the world, you can't find anybody that's just alike. Just alike. There's always something different about some people. So the cure is to understand the purpose of God. Security is an understanding not only that God has a purpose for us, but that He has already equipped you to do that purpose. That's security. God has made you the way you are. God has equipped you to do what He wants you to do for your life. God has made us all specifically for His purpose. We must understand the purpose of God. Secondly, we must understand the promise of God. Take your Bibles and turn with me again to Hebrews, just back a few pages. Hebrews chapter 13. The promise of God. There are many promises in the Word of God. But this is a special promise to me, and I'm sure it is to you. Hebrews 13 and verse number 5. We see here, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Notice, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. My, what a promise. My, what a promise we have here from God. Did you know that no one else can honestly make that claim? No one else can honestly say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But God can. And God will. God, He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And that's a blessing to know that today. God can never be taken away from us, and we can never be taken away from God. Read Romans 8 and study it, and you'll see the security we have in God. We have it in Him. The true believer shall have the presence of God. We can have it in life, we can have it in death, and we can have it throughout eternity. The true believer in God. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's always with us, no matter where we go. I want to be more conscious of that, folks. I hope you do every day of my life. Not just when I'm in church, but when I'm at work, when I'm at the grocery store, the gas station, no matter where I'm at, I want to be constantly aware that God is with me. He's with me. He's noticing everything I do. He knows everything I say. And I want to be conscious of that. And when I'm conscious of that, I'm going to be more secure. I'm going to be more secure because I understand Him. He understands me. God's presence is so important in our life's journey. God's presence gives us rest, folks. It gives us rest in our life. God's presence also gives us courage in the battles and trials that we have to go through, knowing that He's with me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me, no matter what I face in my life. He's always here. He's always within me. My, what a consolation. He helps us rest secure in Him. We rest secure in Him. So we see here, another cure, understanding the promise of God, understanding the purpose of God, understanding the passion of God, the love of God, understanding His passion. You're important not because of who you are, but because what God has done for you, what God did for you. That's why you're important. We're not special of who we are. We're not special because of the price. We are special because of the price He has paid for us, that we might be secure in Him. God has done a wonderful thing for us, folks. He really has. And we need to be aware of all that He has done. The passion of God. I said last week, we need to be aware of three things as an individual. First of all, God, we know that we're all sinners, don't we? We're all sinners. There are saved sinners and lost sinners. We're all sinners right on. We need to realize this, folks, that we are worse than we think we are. We're worse than we think we are. The Bible says the heart is desperately what? Wicked. And who can understand it? Who can know it? You know, we're all worse than we think we are. But yet, in spite of how bad we are as individuals, God loves us anyway. He loves us anyway. No matter how rotten, how sorry we are, He loves us anyway. And another truth is this, no matter how sorry I am, how rotten I am, God knows about that, but I can't fix it. And neither can you. But God can. God can fix how wicked we are, how sorry we are. He'll forgive us if we ask Him to come into our heart and save us. God's wonderful, folks. He's wonderful. We have security in Him. God's love and His grace can overcome our problems and our shortcomings that we have in life. God can do that. We can rest secure in the greatest love the world has ever known. That's the love of God. We can rest secure in His love. His love. So we see the passion of God. We see also to understand the provision of God. God has already provided for us everything that we need that has to do with life and godliness, the provision of God. I'm secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Insecurity looks at what I don't have and wishes for more. Insecurity. God says, I already have everything I need for His purpose in my life. We see also that insecurity says I might run short or I might run out. But God says He'll supply all our needs. God's supplies are inexhaustible. There's always something there. Always meal in the barrel, bomb in the barrel, so to speak. Always something there, you know. If we will depend and rely upon Him, we can have the consequences of insecurity done away with in our life. Depending upon the Lord. Depending upon the Lord in everything we have. The cure, again, for insecurity. Conclusion. God has a purpose for your life. God has a plan for your life daily. Daily. He does. And we know that He's already equipped us to fulfill that purpose, whatever it is. My purpose was Friday night when I went to bed was not to go to Wilson. My purpose was to get up and get me a tire for my vehicle. But God had a purpose, had a plan for me on Saturday when my loved one called and in the hospital having surgery. God designed my plan for that day. He did. Therefore, He fulfilled that purpose in my life of getting me a tire by directing me to go see a loved one that's in the hospital and having surgery. Folks, only God can do that. I could roll around Wilson, I could roll around Clayton and go anywhere else and never found a tire for my car. But God directed me to where I needed to go. Not just to get a tire. That's significant, insignificant. But to be with someone in our family who's had surgery. That's more important. That's more important, you see. So God can direct our lives in the way that we don't even understand. If we'll allow Him to. Amen. What joy, what a blessing it is to be where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do every day in your life. Every day in your life. You know, my wife and I, we have to go places like you have to go, the grocery store and all that. And what a blessing it is to realize I don't go soul winning just on Thursday night or Thursday or whenever it is. Whenever we are conscious of every day that we live, no matter where we go, of people, and giving them tracts, talking to them about the Lord, what a blessing it is. We run into a lady the other day in the grocery store, didn't run into her, but we talked to her. And Marianne looked at her, and she looked at my wife, and they said, both said at the same time, "I've seen you before. Who are you?" I mean, they thought they had seen one, but in reality, they never had. They never had. But God talked to the lady, and of course, you can tell, and I say this respectfully, you can tell by the way the lady is dressed whether she was a Christian or not. I mean, in a grocery store. She dressed like people come to church. I mean, she was dressed very much like a lady ought to be dressed. She had two little boys and a little girl. I think it was a girl. The two little boys were probably 5, 6 years old. The baby was probably less than 2 years old. And they began to have a conversation. Well, we left, walked, and it seemed like up and down the aisle, every time we turn around, she's bumping into us, we're bumping into her. And I heard her call the little boy's name, Elijah. So when we got to the counter, bless her heart, she was right behind us. And I went back to her. I said, "Ma'am, can I ask you a question?" I said, "I heard you ask one of your little boys' name was Elijah. What's the name of your other little boy?" He said, "Jacob." He said, "Jacob." I said, "Well, what's the name of it?" He said, "My little girl's name, Gracie." You know, so you put it all together. I mean, what a blessing it is, folks, to run into people like that and have a conversation with Christian people. There are Christians in grocery stores. Do you realize that? And they want to be talked to. They want to be encouraged. That's what I'm saying. And you can be a blessing to them if you do that. Don't be so selfish. You know, we'll get my groceries and get out of here. You know, there's people in there that need you to talk to them. And you need to talk to them because you can learn some things about them that you need to know. You know, and don't just focus on all my blessings and what I got. But focus upon helping somebody else. That's security, folks. When you rest in Christ, and no matter where you go, you're going to talk about Him, you're going to share Him with people, and what a blessing it is for people to come back to you and talk to you about the Lord too. I mean, this is a blessing. It really is. God has a purpose for you. The promise of God also, God will never take, you cannot be taken away from God, and God will never be taken away from us. And security comes from realizing and experiencing God's love. First of all, realizing God's love and experiencing God's love every day in your life. When it comes personal to you, you know, you realize that God is with us. You're securing God when all these things happen to us. We also see the provision of God. Go back to 2 Peter as we close this out today about the insecurity. In 2 Peter, again, chapter number 1, I want to read these verses. I want you to look at this. Security. God has given us as believers everything we need that has to do with life and godliness. Do you not realize that? He's given it to us. Security comes from God. We know that. But we notice here in 2 Peter, chapter number 1, we know some things here about the righteousness of God. Folks, listen. This is our security. The righteousness of God. Who He is. Not who we are, but who He is. His righteousness. I like that song we sing. My hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and what? His righteousness. His righteousness. That's my hope. That's my security in this life. His righteousness. We notice here, first of all, in verse 1 and 2, the preciousness of God's righteousness. Look at it in verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained, notice, like what? Precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. We find here the preciousness of God's righteousness, the great value, folks, that is attached to our faith, the preciousness of God's righteousness, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing righteous about me. But Jesus Christ's righteousness is in me because I've trusted him as my Savior. And man, what a value that's placed upon, you know, me because of his righteousness in me. The preciousness of his righteousness, we know. The righteousness of God gives security to me. Notice also in verse number 3, we notice it says, according as his divine what? Power. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We see here not only the preciousness of righteousness, but the power of righteousness of God here. We see God has given us everything we need to live in this life. Everything we need to live in this life. He's given it to us, folks, in his righteousness. In his righteousness. Now, notice verse number 4. We find not only the preciousness and the power, but we also see the promise. We see also verse number 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious, what's the next word? Promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We're talking about living in an imperfect world. Now, how can we do this? How can we do this? We see the promise of God. We see, first of all, the protection. The protection. Notice it says in the last part of that verse, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, we can escape it because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ that lives within us. Protection. I'm protected. We have protection. I'm safe and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. His righteousness living within me gives me security in my life, gives me protection. It also gives me participation. How we see in the first part of that verse, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers. We're partakers. The participation we have as believers in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. My folks, what a blessing God has been to us that know him as our Savior. We have received his righteousness that we might live for him. We are partakers of his righteousness. Therefore, we have the promise here. We have the power and we have the preciousness of his righteousness in us. And folks, that brings security in the believer's life. Security. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about him. What he's done for us. I'm safe and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Insecurity. If I'm insecure, if you're insecure in anything in this life, number one, we're not focusing upon the Lord. We're focusing upon ourselves, our own abilities, what we can do, what we can't do. But if we focus on Jesus Christ, we're going to be secure. We're going to be secure. Notice I said a while ago, security comes from two things. Number one, realizing, okay? And number two, experiencing God's love personally, daily. When I do that, when you do that, we'll find ourselves to be secure. When you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you say? You know how to tell me. A good habit. Good words to say, they may be a habit, but just good words to say is, good morning, Lord. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. It gets us focusing on who's going to help us that day. It's not me. It's all about him. Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Young people, as you go back to school this week, try that. Adults, as you go to work this week, try it. Every day. Every day. When you lay on your bed before you go to sleep, good night, Lord. Good night, Jesus. Good night, Holy Spirit. You know, I'm afraid to all of us we're not personal enough to God with Him. He's not close. He's not as close to us as He wants to be. He's as close to us as we allow Him to be. But He's not as close to us as He wants to be. God wants every day, folks, listen, to wrap His arms of love around you and hug you. And just love on you all day long and me, if we'll allow Him to. I'm saying this, once we get to the point that we realize and we experience that love every day in our life personally, then, folks, we'll be secure. We'll be secure. Because we're thinking about Him all the time. All the time. You say, Brother Keith, I can't think about God all the time. I know that. I know that. But whenever you can, do it. And sometimes we have to make that effort to do it. In the morning and at night. God loves us, folks. He's provided righteousness for us. Protection. Participation in Him. What else can God do for us? You know, some people say, God bless America. Oh my. Do we fail to see how He's blessed us? Do we fail to see? As a child of God today, we're the most blessed people in the world. God has provided His righteousness for us to enable us to live this life according to His plan and His purpose. If we just focus upon Him, realize and experience His love personally every day. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for Your love. We don't understand it. Lord, we thank You for it. We're thankful to God that You've given us security in this life that we live. God, we're thankful, Lord, for Your love, how You love us. We're so unloving, but Lord, You love us. God, bless Your people this week. I pray, God, You wrap Your arms of love around them, God, in a very special way. More, Lord, may they sense Your presence daily in their walk, their task, whatever they do. God, I just pray You just help us, Lord, to draw closer to You. God, that You might be more real to us. And God, we might love You more. And therefore, we might focus upon You, realizing, God, that whatever happens in this life that You confront me with, Lord, I know You're with me. Never going to leave me nor forsake me, and You're going to help me through it. And God, I want You to be honored in it. And we're going to thank You. Lord, bless now the service about to go into. Have Your will and way and all this done. Lord, if there's one here that's lost, I pray they might be saved. Lord, I pray Your people might be encouraged today. In Jesus' name, amen.